Well, good morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. We're going to do a summation this morning of the previous four messages of God's faithfulness, which can be seen. Years ago, as I was giving a tour in the Bible Museum, I had a group that was led by a preacher, and as I was going through the history of the Bible, including the books of the Apocrypha, he got very agitated. And, you know, those books were literally included in Scripture for 2,000 years. And as his agitation grew, he looked up and he said to me, "Well, I just need to know one thing. That's John 3:16, which reads, 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.'" I have full agreement with that. I would correct the translation wherein it should say, "Whosoever faitheth." And faith is an action based upon a belief sustained by confidence, and the faith that the Scripture speaks of is the faith in God. But my response to that preacher was, "Well, if that's the case," and I put it this way, "when and if you get to heaven, I want you to march right up to God and say, 'God, I only need a John 3:16. Why did you bother me with the rest of this book? With the not 66, but 80 books of the Bible, which God, in spite of us, has preserved." And, you know, he looked at me like a goose waking up to a new day. We have been attempting to make you aware of God distinguishing the two nations, one called House of Israel, one called House of Judah, the northern kingdom, the northern tribes, sometimes called the lost tribes, who were never lost to God. But God did say he would virtually hide them from themselves, and the house of Judah. The southern kingdom. Now, in Psalm 135, it says, "For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto him, Israel for his peculiar treasure." And when it says Israel, he's including all the 12 properly, all the 13 tribes, because Joseph has two sons of whom God said my name would be named on them. So properly the 13, where it says Israel for his peculiar treasure. "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that he did in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all the deep places." God, to be God, does what he pleases to do. And this, which we call the Bible, which I have coined a term, wherein I call it, excuse me, I'm sorry, I want to be precise. Stay with me. I have called it God's prospectus. The Bible means, it simply comes from the Greek word biblios, which means books. If we more accurately describe these books as God's prospectus, because the definition of a prospectus is giving information in advance, calculated, that is an intricate presentation, calculated to arouse interest and win support. And I would suggest to you that the Christian church today, in general, is not familiar with all the intricacies wherein God has presented himself as faithful. He, going over some of those promises we have previously gone over, it says, the father of faith, Abraham, God made promises to Abraham. He said his descendants would be as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea, that out of him would come many kings and many nations, and that's not linear, it's horizontal. Not just one at a time, it's horizontal, many kings, many nations. And I asked the question then, and I think I asked the question then, I'm going to ask it now, wherein do we have knowledge of the heritage of Abraham as being counted as the stars of the heavens and the sands of the sea? Wherein? Not in Scripture, because Scripture gives us biblical record of kings of Israel, of the house of Israel, and kings of the house of Judah. But it stops short of the complete history of those descendants of Abraham, particularly through Isaac and through Jacob, whom God changed his name to Israel, and to Israel's sons, whom he blesses in the 48th and 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. And the first that he blesses are not his sons, but his grandsons, the sons of Joseph. And he says of Ephraim that he shall be a great commonwealth of nations. And he says of Manasseh that he shall be a great nation. And I ask, where is the church teaching on God's performance of being faithful to the promises that he made through Israel to these grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He says in another place to David in 2 Samuel 7 that David shall never want of a man or seed sitting on the throne, ruling over Israel. And we know that kingship, the throne of David, in biblical history, ceases when Zedekiah is taken into captivity by the Babylonians. Now, at the time of Christ, there is one called Herod, who is referred to as king of Judea, but Herod is an Edomianite. He's not of the line of Judah. He is an Edomianite. The promise to Judah back in the 49th chapter of Genesis is that the scepter and lawgiver shall never be removed from between the feet of Judah, his descendants, until Shiloh come. And then now we get the Christian church saying, well, okay, that promise to David was true because Jesus came and he's now King of Kings. Well, Shiloh refers not to the first coming of Christ, that suffering servant picture of Christ that we get in Isaiah 53, but Shiloh is when Christ's second coming, and he is coming, comes to pass, wherein he is named King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But God said in to David that he shall always have a seed sitting on the throne, ruling over Israel. I love David's response to this. David says in the 25th verse of 2 Samuel 7, he says, "And now, Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever. And do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee." Now, back to Genesis 48 and 49. Jacob has 12 sons, as I said, if we allow, as God has done, Ephraim and Manasseh to take the place of Joseph, then there's 13. One of the sons was Judah, and from him, his descendants are called Jews. And quite frankly, folks, it's not until we get into 2 Kings where the kingdoms have split under Rehoboam, and Rehoboam is king of Judah, and Jeroboam is king of the house of Israel. If you don't understand that split, and that's the first time in history that the house of Judah are referred to as Jews. We must understand that God saw these as two houses, as two families. And if you have not that understanding, then you can't possibly understand all that God has said, and most difficult will it be to understand His faithfulness. Why should we understand His faithfulness? Because God says in more than one place of His people, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. In other words, the life of His children, whether they be of the house of Israel, whether they be of the house of Judah, whether they be Christians, is not going to be a Sunday walk in the park. There's going to be times of trouble. 84 Psalm says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of thee, who passing through the valley of Baca, Baca being translated weeping. There's going to be times where they're going to be tough, wherein it does not appear, as John says, what we are, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Now, this message is not a Christian message, but it is a message to Christians, because God is faithful. He does what He says. Out of the book of Hebrews, Paul is talking to Hebrews who have heard the good news of the gospel, who have suffered circumstance which seems to deny the promise of God. But he says in the 10th chapter, in the 35th verse, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience. The word is endurance. Endurance. God said it. We know He said it. We know He's faithful, and we shall see all the promises fulfilled. We are seeing many of the promises fulfilled. But He goes on to say, for ye have need of endurance, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. What is the will of God? That we would trust him. And for trust, and which is another word for faith. In the Hebrew, you have the word often translated trust, batak, to lean upon a staff with the expectation that the staff will hold all of your weight. Another word translated trust in the Hebrew is, or from the Hebrew is, but is hasa, which means run to the shelter of a mother bird's wings with the expectation that under those wings shall your protection be. Another word in the Hebrew translated believe, translated faithful, and its derivations is the word amen. This word amen is the most transliterated word of every language in the world. I don't care what language you speak, the word is amen in every language. there is not one in 1,000 people that have visited the Bible Museum wherein I ask the question, what does that word amen mean? Wherein they don't say, thy will be done. No! It is no doubt. And God has put in this prospectus so much information of his faithfulness that when we see his faithfulness in the outcome of history, we can have this mindset of no doubt. Of his promises that we might receive the promise and the promise for faith is God puts us in Christ and he puts Christ in us, and we become children of God, joint heirs with Jesus. But back to this faithfulness of God, which has to do with what he promised, the birthright promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and through Jacob, named Israel, the promises he made to them. Now, I really have struggled to continue with this series, and if you haven't gain the understanding that I'm talking about the so-called lost tribes of Israel. They're not lost. They've never been lost. God knows right where they're at. God sent them on their way. God said that, you know, and people throughout history have been hunting for Jews. No, they weren't Jews. They were Israel. They were the house of Israel. And God says in Hosea he tells that story about what their history is going to look like. And he says they're going to be scattered. And he says they're not going to be known as having his mercy. And he says they're not going to be known as his people. They're no longer going to carry the name Israel. But in history, in archaeology, in anthropology, these people can be traced moving from where they were taken captive. Before that, moving from the first exodus of Egypt when the sons of Judah leave, having been rulers in Egypt, because God said after, you know, Joseph was absolute ruler in Egypt. When Joseph passes, who gets the kingship? Not Pharaoh, but I'm not talking Pharaoh, but who's going to rule? It is the sons of Judah, and they get out. First, Josephus, the Jewish historian from the first century, says there were two exoduses out of Egypt. They get out. They move to Greece. They found the city-states of Athens and Troy. You never heard this before. Look, I had a pastor whom I have every confidence was one of the great gifts to the Church of Jesus Christ that God had given, who spent, I would estimate, probably more than 200 hours teaching on the history of God's people, on the history of the house of Israel, on the history of the people called Ephraim, on the history of that which is called Samaria, the northern kingdom. And the story is that these people, whom God in that 2 Samuel 7 passage before any other promises given, it says, the prophet says to David, I will appoint a place for my people Israel. David was ruling from the Euphrates River to the Mediterranean Sea. What's he talking about, a place? Well, here's the history. I'm going to make it quick. If I don't finish this message on shortwave, and I'm sure I'm not going to, and if you're interested in hearing more of this message of God's faithfulness, you can go to thegodschool.com and look on the right side to previous messages. I believe there are 11 or 12 of them called The Second Greatest Story Ever Told, that is, of God's faithfulness to his promises to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, these tribes move after the captivity of by the Assyrians. They move. They move north and west. And not any longer being called Israel, there are different names given them. When Rawlinson digs translates the Behistun stone, a record of Darius, the Medo-Persian king, wherein in three different languages he describes history, and when he speaks of the overthrow, that the Bible calls of the northern kingdom, Israel, he calls in one language, he calls them the house of, he calls them Bet Kumri. Bet Kumri, after the sixth king of Israel, Omri. In another language, he calls them Saka Sunai. Now, where do these names, what do these names mean to you? Well, you know, if you talk to a person from Wales, they'll use the name Cymru, short for Cymru, short for House of Omri, changed from House of Israel. That other name, Saka Sunai, it's very simple. They're not going to be called Israel. Saka Sunai means sons of Isaac. And what's the contraction? It's Saxon. And I tell you in an absolute amen state of mind that God fulfilled the promises he made through to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel in these people. Look, it's not the Hebrew Bible. It's not the Greek Bible. It's not the Spanish. It's not the German. It's not the Greek. It's not the Russian Bible. It is the English Bible that has brought the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. Why? Because these were God's people in that passage in Hosea in the first chapter, wherein it says, you know, before the first chapter ends, after he tells what their history is going to be like, he says, I'm getting there because I want to quote it right. 10th verse, first chapter, Hosea, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. Who's that a promise to? Abraham? Shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. It says, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel, is God, are you, in God's word, do you see where he makes a distinction? Shall be gathered together. Now, don't take my word for it, folks. Go and see all the promises that are contained in the birthright, which the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, 5th chapter, says that Judah retained the scepter and lawgiver, but the birthright was Joseph's, was Joseph's sons, Ephraim, the great commonwealth of nations, Manasseh, the great nation. I'm going to draw to a conclusion. I don't want to speak on this subject anymore at this time. I want you people of the British Isles. I want you people of the United States of America. I want you people, inhabitants of Northwestern Europe, whom in another place, at the same time, in the same place that the so-called lost tribes of Israel are lost to history, right at the same time, right in the same place, a new civilization comes into being. A full civilization, and history calls them the Celts, the Celtic nations. We are Israel. We are chosen by God to be a peculiar people. The greatest commonwealth of nations in the history of the world is the British Empire. The greatest nation in the history of the world is the United States. Present conditions accepted. But in spite of circumstance, God is faithful. He saw the British Empire. The word British comes from the Hebrew. Berit means covenant. Ish means people. They're called covenant people. But Paul warns in the book of Romans that not all Israel is Israel. He says all Israel will be saved, but not all Israel is Israel. Now, God's going to sort that one out. But if you've heard anything that this preacher has said, I implore you, God is faithful, and he's looking for people who will trust him. He's looking for people of faith. And faith is grabbing hold of his promises and acting on them as though they are more real than any circumstance which might appear to deny God's faithfulness. God is looking for those who will reach up and grab hold with hope, if possible, with doubt. But if you can only take a fingernail grip on that promise, God will respond. And if we will continue in the faith, we shall one day be in eternity with Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the majesty on high, and shall become and are by faith joint heirs with Christ, and be named in the family of God, our Father. What a name. Think on that name, Father, if ye be children and children by faith in God's promise, who is faithful, who does what he says and makes good what he has spoken. And that's the God School for today.